I get questions no one else gets. It's just a fact. I mean, I'm not complaining about it. It's just that I get questions that you cannot believe. For instance, I'll just give you one of the questions. People say, Martin, let's say a woman's pregnant. And the snatching away occurs. Let's say she's 8 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant. Let's say it's a day before she's due to deliver and the snatching away occurs. She's a believer. She's going to be snatched away with Jesus. Will her baby, will her unborn baby be snatched away too? How would you like to get these questions on a daily basis? Well, you know, when you walk by faith and not perception, and when you believe God and let God sort out the facts, it's easy to answer these questions. It's not that hard. Is the baby a believer? How can the baby be a believer? How can the baby be a believer? Because it doesn't believe in Jesus. It doesn't even know how to control its excretory functions. Is it a human being? Of course it's a human being. The 50-year-old man who is an atheist is a human being. The baby does not believe any more than the 50-year-old atheist believes. So the answer to the question is, the mother's a believer, the baby's not, therefore the mother's snatched away, and therefore the baby is not. It's simple. I don't know how it works out. It's not my problem. Maybe this illustration will hammer home to you that it's not our problem. We just believe what God says, and He is love. That's it. God is love. Martin, it's going to be terrible. Well, how do you know? You don't know anything how it's going to be. You think it's going to be terrible. You anticipate all these things that you think are going to be terrible, but in fact, God's going to work out all the details. Sorry, I kind of blew the microphone out there a second ago. I get upset about this. Sorry, I have answers, you know. I'm sorry that the answers are pretty plain in the scripture. Many times, plain answer. For instance, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Plain answer. Simple. I believe it. But I don't care. Put in all the buts you want. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So, you figure out how that works. You figure out the... You want to analyze the splash on that? You want to look at the fallout? I don't know. Go ahead. Argue all you want. I'm just going to believe what God says. Along that lines, I have a question concerning the new heavens and the new earth and God dwelling, God making His tabernacle with humanity at that time. Martin, will people finally see God on the new earth? See, these are the questions I get. Big questions. Love it. I'd rather do what I do than be a lawyer or a doctor and be asked ridiculous questions like, Martin, it hurts right here. Ooh, do you think that could be my gallbladder? Or, if I was a meteorologist, Martin, I'm having a picnic tomorrow. What's the relative humidity going to be? It's at 2:03 p.m. Okay. These are relatively inconsequential events, except for your gallbladder. I'll give you your gallbladder, but besides that, no one will ever see God. Not even on the new earth. No human beings will ever see God. Even glorified human beings will never see God. We will never see God when we're snatched away. People get upset at me about this. I am sorry. Don't shoot the messenger. God is invisible, absolutely invisible and inaudible. When you see Jesus Christ, you will be satisfied toward God, because Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. That's why He was created. He was a created being, Revelation 3:14, to be the image of the what? Right. Invisible God. People are spoken of as seeing God. For instance, Moses saw Him. But he's not seeing Him. It's a figure of speech. He's seeing His representative. But Jesus told Philip, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Woo! That means Jesus is the Father. No, it just means that Jesus was such a perfect representation of the Father that if you've heard Him, you've heard God. I can say the same thing about us. We're ambassadors of Christ 2 Corinthians 5, as of God entreating through us. So if you've heard our message, you've heard God's message. That's audacious. How dare you equate yourself with God? I'm not equating myself with God. I'm saying that in this aspect, we are representatives of God, and we represent his message ideally, that he is conciliated to the world. Jesus Christ represents him in every way, so much more depth, that he is the image. And this is why God did not want Israel to make any false images, because it's very important that the image of God be accurate and true, and it has the stamp of approval of God on it. Jesus Christ is the only image of God that has the stamp of approval of God on it. That's why God had to cancel out, get rid of, eliminate any other images of himself, including those idiotic plaster gold images they used to make. What's this, a calf? A golden calf? God is a bovine? God has udders hanging down from his belly? Come on. That's a false image of God. That's a false physical image. Bad enough. God hates that. How about the false image put forward by Christianity concerning God's character? That he is running around the universe putting out fires. That he gave humanity a free will, and he hasn't gotten his own free will back since. That demeans God's character. How about that he eternally torments most of his creatures because he can't convince them to like him? That is a false image of God. Jesus Christ is the true image. So we won't need to see God. We will be completely satisfied. And the members of humanity, well, Martin, what about that glow you said? What about that the sun and the moon are not needed in the New Jerusalem because there's a glow? Yeah, it's a glow. It's a glow. A glow is not God. Even the Shekinah glory that was limited to the Holy of Holies was not God himself. It was a token manifestation. It wasn't God himself, but it was representative of him, so you could say God lives in the tabernacle. God lives there. You can still say that and get away with it as a figure of speech. So God dwells with humanity. It's a figure of speech. His presence is there. You can't limit him. You can't say God is here or God is there. Jesus Christ, yes, he can be limited. He can be GPS'd because he is a creature. There's one of him. But God is omnipresent. Is he an omnivore? I don't know if God's an omnivore, but he's omnipresent, omnipotent, and all-loving. I'm happy about that. Now, I told you that I was going to talk to you about the model of the temple. I never got to it. I got a little distracted, as you know. And so let's go back. I don't know if we're going back there, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. And what I want to do now is go to verse 5, because we're learning in the unveiling 21 that a new Jerusalem descends to the earth from heaven, therefore it is in heaven, and I believe it's there now, and that the celestial world's messing around there somehow. That's a bad way to put it. Let me retract that. They're not messing around. There are hierarchies of celestial beings. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us that there are sovereignties, authorities, world mites of this present darkness. They're being kept controlled right now, and the Jerusalem that's in heaven right now may have something to do with that. There's a Jerusalem in heaven, apparently. Is it possible? Let me say this. I'm thinking that the Jerusalem that comes to earth predates the Jerusalem on earth. The Jerusalem on earth, we think it was a new thing. Like, oh, this is a new thing, a city named Jerusalem that is established on the earth. It's called the City of Peace. It's an ancient city. But what if it's not so new? What if it was always in the heaven? And the things on earth are a model of things in the heaven. We think we invented everything, but maybe the origin of many things that we think we invented that appeared here for the first time are actually begun in heaven. I wrote an article about this many moons ago, about Jesus Christ being a human. He's the second. He's the Son of God, yes. And whenever we think of a human, we think of a head, two hands, two arms, two legs. People ask me, Martin, what's our new body going to look like? See the questions I get? I do not know what our new body is going to look like. We're still going to be human beings. This is my point, is that Adam was the first human on earth. Yes, but what if Jesus Christ is also, he's called the second Adam. No, he's called the last Adam, not the second Adam, the last Adam. I propose to you that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the new humanity. So what if he was always a human being? And what if our conception of what a human being is falsely limited by the form, the shape, the size that we see today? In yourself, in myself. But what if Jesus Christ was the model? Now, if he's the model of Adam, see, I reject the idea that Adam was the first human being and God sees Adam and says, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to make a son just like Adam. I'm going to base my son on Adam. Or is Adam based on his son? See, I'm putting the chicken before the egg, or the egg before the chicken. I think, yeah, I'm putting the egg before the chicken. Now, I say that Adam was based on the Son of God. God said we're made in the image of God. In the image of God. Adam was made in the image of God. And God made Christ in his own image. Am I saying that God has arms and legs? No, God is invisible. He's not a human. He doesn't have any body parts. Jesus Christ, that's another story. It could be that Jesus Christ was the first one with head, legs, and arms, but he existed for many, many, many moons before Adam even came on the earth. And Adam was based on the model of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was actually the first human. He wasn't an Adamic human. He wasn't a human who was dying. But we learn that Adam's made in the image of God. So there you have it. And Christ is made in the image of God. Adam's made in the image of God and possibly of Christ. That's what I'm putting forward to you today. All to introduce this thought of Moses being shown a model on the mountain, on Mount Sinai. This is very awkward wording in Hebrews because I believe Hebrews is written by the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul wrote very poorly. The Apostle Paul would not be able to get a job at any newspaper or magazine today because of his poor writing skills, but this is inspired writing nevertheless. God purposely makes it a little obtuse so that we will have to work to figure this stuff out, and yet it still follows laws of language. To get a context, let's go with verse 4 of Hebrews 8. Indeed then, if he, Jesus Christ, were on earth, he would not even be a priest. Why? Because he's of the tribe of Judah, and there are no priests from Judah in the old Levitical priesthood. Get it? Levitical priesthood. You have to be a Levite. He wasn't. That's why the priesthood has to change. The Melchizedek priesthood allows Jesus Christ to be a priest of the new order. There's a new order of priesthood coming on the regenerated earth. Indeed, if he were on earth, he would not even be a priest, there being those who offer approach presents according to the law, who by an example and shadow are offering the divine service of the celestials. That was a lot of mixed up wording there, but this is the money phrase, divine service of the celestials. There is a divine service going on. I mentioned hierarchies earlier of the celestial world, sovereignties, authorities, world mights. Those are the ones of darkness, but there are also hierarchies of good celestial beings. And so there are conflicts in the celestial world, just as there are conflicts here on earth. And we have various hierarchy here on earth, just in our own government. For instance, you have the president, the vice president, the speaker of the house, you have the cabinet, you have the Supreme Court judges, you have the senators, you have the representatives, and all that. It goes down the line. So there's a divine service. There's a way of doing things. There is a service going on to God. There is some kind of ceremony going on in heaven now in a Jerusalem that I think was founded way before even that dusty little city came to be in the Middle East. How about that? How about that? According as Moses has been apprised, another awkward concordant word, told of, when about to be completing the tabernacle, for see, this is a quote, honestly, for see, he is averring, another awkward concordant word, he is forcefully saying, you shall be making all in accord with a model shown to you in the mountain. You shall be making all. What's all? The tabernacle, that system, that tent that was a forerunner of the temple that Moses made in the wilderness, that they moved every time the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire moved. They took up their little tent pegs and their little canvas and all their little curtains and hooks and rings and shower curtains, and they packed it up. That little thing was based on a model that Moses was shown on the mountain. What if Moses got a sneak peek into the something to do with the New Jerusalem? Now, I know there's no temple in the New Jerusalem, but the New Jerusalem does come down from heaven. But if there's a New Jerusalem, perhaps there was or is a temple sort of thing, even though it does not come down with the New Jerusalem. But what if there was a temple sort of thing in the Celestials that Moses was shown, and he built his little tinker toy model based on some magnificent celestial model in which or through which the celestial world offers divine service to God? And what if we, ladies and gentlemen, the members of the body of Christ, are going into the celestials to do many things, but what if this is one of the things? What if we are going to somehow displace the New Jerusalem, displace whatever temple is up there, and to be conductors ourselves of divine service? What if when we get there, there will no longer be a need for a physical structure? And yes, there are physical structures in the celestial world. Don't make the common mistake of assuming that a spiritual thing or a celestial thing is not a physical, tangible thing. I believe there are cities. I believe there are structures in the celestial world that will make the Wizard of Oz, sorry Judy, look like Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And I believe that the body of Christ will be a sort of priesthood for the celestial world. We will be performing functions among the celestial world, much like the new priesthood will be conducting on the earth. The old priesthood has to change on the earth, because it's decrepit, because one man, the high priest, kept having to do it every year. Then the high priest would die, another high priest would have to come, had to be replaced. This was the order of the Levites. This was the Levitical priesthood. When the kingdom begins on earth, there's going to be a transfer of the priesthood. Paul writes about it extensively in Hebrews. The transfer of the priesthood does away with the Levites, and it brings in a new order. It's called the Order of Melchizedek, named after a guy who lived before there even was an Israel. He was a contemporary of Abraham, and he was the king of Salem. That is, he was a king of that place that's now Jerusalem. But he predates the Israelite temple, and he predates the Levitical priesthood, because he predates Israel, Jacob. I'm wondering, ladies and gentlemen, in front of you in the world today, if there will be a transfer of power, similar transfer of power, a similar transfer of priesthood, if you will, among the celestials, where we will be a new order that will bring the celestial world into proper worship of God. We have learned proper worship and proper reverence of the true God, not an image of God. See, I've come full circle. I've come full circle. There are false images of God in this world today. False ideas, false thinking. I'm thinking that if this obtains, if this kind of travesty happens on earth, that it's also happening in the heavens. And I'm thinking that we're a new order of enlightenment that is going to come to the celestial world, and we will bring a new divine service to those creatures. And we will be a image of God, much as Jesus Christ is. He came to bring, don't think that's blasphemy, he came to bring many sons to glory. And we are to take the image of the celestial, Paul says. And I dare say the image of Christ also. And that we also, with Jesus Christ, will be perfect representatives of God. So why shouldn't we be the agents of a new understanding for the celestials of the divine majesty?